One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away, for he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, amen. Faith is. When is it? Right now. Now, faith is. Brother, it's time for God's people to just go ahead and start living by faith. You don't have to wait. Start now. You don't have to try to improve or get better. You just need to start now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith makes Jesus current with your problems. Why? Because it brings him up to right now. Faith makes him a today's Savior. And he's a God close up, not far off. He's right here now. Why, he said, where two or three get together, there am I. Just two or three. He said, if two of you agree to touching anything on earth that you may ask, why, he said, it'll be done of my Father, which is in heaven. If you can just agree. See, it's touching anything on earth. Number 17, faith is by believing. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, Romans 10:8. Faith is by believing. That's what it is. In other words, it just puts you over in a spiritual gear and you just start walking with the Lord and God begins to work through you and in you, and that's the way it is. May not have a big show-off. Fact is, I don't think faith ever has a big show-off because it just shows Jesus, see? And when you show Jesus, you're hated for that. Faith doesn't have a big display. No, sir. Faith doesn't ever say, look what I'm doing, brother. Faith is just sort of like cologne. You can smell it, but you can't see it. Amen? Faith is salvation. By grace are you saved. Through church membership? No, no. Baptism? No, no. Through works? No, no. Through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of you, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith is salvation. If you have the right kind of faith in Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with his mouth his confession is made. Brother, I tell you what, I believe that if you could ever get your faith fixed in him, I'm talking about in Jesus, not just believing in people, but in Jesus Christ. Faith is salvation by grace, or you're saved through faith. Faith is the Christian's keeping power, who are kept through the power of God. Amen. Now get this, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. See, we're kept by the power, but the way he does it is through faith. You've got to believe. I said you're going to have to believe. Are you ready to live by faith? What are you going to do when the hour of trial comes? Faith is always alive, and faith is current. And if you preach something by faith, it'll be good 100 years from right now. And it'll be worth more 100 years from now than it is now. That's reading the Bible is so valuable the older it gets, because the word of nigh thee, the word is neither even the word of faith. See, the Bible is a book of faith. You don't understand the Bible by getting smart or going off to college or running into a bunch of theologians and had a bunch of theological arguments. Brother, the word of God is a revelation and can only be given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 20, faith is the hand and arm that's reaching after the garment of God for certain healing. The woman for 12 years had exhausted money, strength, ever hope, and yet when by faith she touched him, she felt that she was made whole, and she was. And even though she had an element of fear, she was still made whole, and Jesus commended her. Yes, she was afraid to kind of give her testimony. But Jesus said, why, listen, somebody touched me, and it's all right. You don't have to be afraid. He was so kind to her. Why, he said, you can just go now. Your faith has been rewarded. Now then, 21, faith is man's extremity and God's opportunity. I mean, when you can do it yourself, you don't need faith. And it's not worth doing anyhow. And it won't honor God because it's just man-made. It's a work of the flesh, and the flesh cannot please God. And so he said, faith is man's extremity and God's opportunity. Faith works better when the last straw of human help has been exhausted. When Jacob was shut up to faith at Jabbok, he came out with a victory. I'll tell you, he wrestled that night, didn't he? And he'd already played out and got crippled up. And he said, Lord, I'm going to have to trust you now because I can't outrun him. I'm crippled. I can't outsmart him and so forth. And he's got me overpowered and a bunch of men. And here I am in a terrible fix. So, Lord, I'm just going to cast all my confidence in God. And so, number 22, it's life extension cord. Faith is. Hezekiah, you know, had the death sentence passed on him. And the preacher, the greatest preacher of his day, came and told him, said, well, Hezekiah, school's out. I mean, it's all over. You can set your house in order now because you're going to die and not live. And so Hezekiah prayed after the undertaker had knocked on the door. And God gave him 15 more years. Amen. Why, just think of the people that's alive today that the doctor pronounced terminal, and yet they're alive today. God did come, didn't he? And so faith can give you an extension cord to your life. Do you need it? Do you want it? What would you do with it if you got it? Huh? You'd say, well, I just live like I've been living. Well, maybe you won't get it then. But I believe I'd live a little different, don't you? I'd do my best, wouldn't you? I mean, just to help somebody else come to Christ. Faith is the authority of God. The centurion cried out, speak the word only, and he shall be healed. That's authority, brother. That's what faith is. I mean, faith moves with the authority of God. Faith is the mixture that makes the gospel effective. Hebrews 4:2. He said it was mixed with faith in them that heard it. And if it's not mixed with faith, then it won't do any good. Because they said it didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith. Not mixed with faith. Oh, listen, when you hear the word of God, do you believe it? Or do you believe it enough? Now, you know what I believe you believe? I believe you believe just as much as you practice. Are you there? I mean, are you listening right now? Now, what are you practicing? Are you willing to go out on faith, really on faith? How many times have you had to say to Jesus, please forgive me. I don't know why I did it, but I did. I want you to forgive me and cleanse me. Well, of course you've been there. And how many times did he forgive you? 70 times 7? Well, an unlimited number. And so faith is the mixture that makes the gospel effective. Hebrews 4:2. You know, I just want to stop long enough to say, I just want to be a better Christian, don't you? I'm not satisfied. I'm just not satisfied to be a mediocre Christian. I want to be a real, real Christian for the Lord. I mean, I want to just be real dedicated to Him. I don't want to just be a church member. I want to be a fellow that they can accuse of being a Christian. And I want to have the love of Jesus in my heart. And so faith is something else. It's the storm stopper. Jesus said, peace, be still. And the waves laid down like obedient and trained dogs, didn't it? After 14 days of abstinence, Paul stood on the wind and on the windswept deck, and rain swept that old deck. And he said, it's going to be all right. How do you know? Well, I believe God. Angels came to see me last night. And, of course, you couldn't tell night from day because it had been dark so long. I mean, you talk about a storm. Have you ever been in a hurricane? Oh, the solid blowing. You talk about just blowing. I mean, just blowing hour after hour. Dark and just barrels of rain falling. I mean, just sheets of water falling. You talk about rain. Maybe 5, 10, 15 inches of rain. Water everywhere. And wires down. Telephone poles falling. I mean, glass is breaking out and rooftops coming off. I tell you what, if it doesn't get it going, it'll get it coming back. You see, a hurricane goes and it turns around and comes back. And I tell you what, it doesn't get going, it'll come back and get the rest of it, just about it. And so it's a horrible time. These folks had been out there in that storm. You think of a 14-day storm on the sea. And he came out and stood there. I think as a majestic sight. Paul said, it's okay, fellas. It's all right. They said, what do you mean, all right? Well, he said, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me this night and said, "Fear not. Everything's going to be all right. I'm going to give all those that sail with you too." Faith is the storm stopper. Number 26, faith is man resting and God working. Hebrews, he said, they that have entered into his rest, amen, entered into his rest, have ceased from their own labor. Brother, you don't do anything, you just rest. Oh no, God uses you, I know that, but the thing is, you don't get the work done, he does. And so you just rest and God works, and praise him while he does. And then, now he may use your body, may use your hands, your voice, and your heart, your love, but number 27, faith is receiving. Oh, he said, believe that you have it, you shall receive it. Mark 11:24. You see, first of all, you got to believe, and then you receive. Now, you don't receive before you believe. If you did, it wouldn't be faith at all. Now, 28, faith is giving A-double-L. You remember the little boy came to hear Jesus, brought his lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And I don't believe that he would have given his whole lunch away or maybe any of it before he heard Jesus. But after he heard the Savior speak, he gladly offered it all. You know what's wrong with a lot of us? We haven't heard him yet. You know why you're not willing to give? You haven't heard him yet. When you hear him, when you hear the word, you see, that's the reason we've got to get the people to memorize the Bible. That's the reason I don't like newspapers and television. It keeps me away from the Bible. I've got to live by the Word of God. I've got to get you to live by the Word of God. And so, faith is giving all. He gave every bit of it. And brother, when you have the kind of faith, you'll start giving too. No matter, you can put the pressure on, you can have pledges, and you can plan and all that. And I'm for anything that'll help the people to give scripturally, liberally, and lovingly, and even recklessly, I believe. But listen, if we could get our people to live by faith, I'll guarantee you, they'll give. You couldn't stop them from giving. Yes? Faith is giving all. Number 29, faith is God in action on the battlefield, winning every battle and making real what Christ made possible. That's right. Faith never shuns the battlefield. Faith never does fear the foe. Faith will face the foe every time. Faith will come just like David faced Goliath. He said, "Why, your big talk doesn't scare me. Because you see, God done told me to come out and kill you." And that's just what. And you better get by, take you a burial policy right now. Because, you're done for, Mr. Goliath. I've already, my gun's loaded. My little slingshot, I got 5 bullets. And I probably won't need over one on you, see. But I come loaded, and I'm coming in the name of the Lord of the hosts. And, brother, that's faith. Did you know that? Why, you know it wouldn't be like a little boy to go face a big old giant. Not on your life. Oh, I praise the Lord for his wonderful love and mercy. Well, one other thing. Faith never runs from the battle. It'll always run to the battle. David did. David ran to the battlefield. He didn't run from it. And dear friends, there's some of y'all, I'm afraid, getting little cold feet. Some of you getting a little critical, you know. Because the battle's lasted a long time, and poor Brother Olaf, he just won't give up, you know. He's not going to give up. I couldn't compromise because I quit my radio, I quit preaching, I'll never preach another sermon. If I ever compromise the Word of God, now I didn't say I'd live perfect, I haven't. God knows my heart, and I grieve, I really do. I grieve over mistakes and blunders, and I'm sorry that I've not, you know, pleased Jesus every time, and it's horrible when you don't please Him and love Him and live for Him 100%. But listen, I never have gotten to the place where I don't believe the Bible. I believe every bit of it. I believe the Word of God. And if I don't stand by it, then I'm through. I'm sunk. I can't go back to living by faith. I can't depend on promotion and organization and education. So faith is God right out in the middle of the battlefield, winning victory after victory. Now, number 30, and this is the last one. Faith is complete surrender demonstrated by Jesus on the cross. Denied by Peter, forsaken by his own, betrayed by Judas. Heaven's gates closed in his face, with the angels silent, his telephone line to the Father's house clipped, deserted by the Holy Spirit. And yet he said, "It's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." You may have the door locked, but you'll have it open time I get there. I'm coming home. I still believe. Oh, into thy hands. My God, he said,
was his last word. Why hast thou forsaken me? I never have had you to fail me. You met me in Gethsemane. You met me in the wilderness. You've never failed me when I talk with you. But now then, that looks like I don't even have a father. Heaven's orphan cried on the cross. That's right. I tell you, that to me is the saddest scene I've ever seen in my life. Heaven's orphan crying on the cross for a father that he no longer had. And finally just had to pray the prayer of an old sinner. Even though he wasn't a sinner. I want you to get that. But he prayed the prayer I'd have to pray without Jesus. My God. Oh, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, listen. I tell you, faith is something in it. It's just wonderful. Yes, it's finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Do you remember the story of the little girl on the mission field that pled with the missionary to let her go live with her in her home, to which the missionary said, "Honey, I don't have the provisions to take care of you. Let's just pray and believe that someone from the homeland will send provisions." And when the missionary had gone back across the hills to the little neighbor village where she lived, she found a letter with a check sufficient to take care of another little girl. She said to one of her converts, a faithful servant, "Will you go back across those hills and find that little girl and bring her?" Her prayers had been answered. In a few moments, the servant had left. And then in just a few more moments, he was back with the little girl holding to his hand. The missionary said to the little girl, "Honey, how did you get here so quick?" And she said, "Well, Miss Missionary, I knew that if you prayed and I prayed and we both believed, I might as well get on my way. And so I did." Brother, that's childlike faith. But it worked, didn't it? If you'd been living when Christ was on earth and had met the Savior kind, what would you have asked him to do for you, supposing you were completely blind? The child considered and then replied, "I expect that without doubt I'd have asked for a dog and with a collar and chain to lead me daily about." And how often thus, in our faithless prayers, we acknowledge with shame, surprise, we've only asked for a dog and a chain when we might have had opened eyes. I'm asking you, where's your faith? How is your faith? And Jesus said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Can you hear Jesus asking his disciples all of these questions? He said, "Fellas, get your faith fixed. Get your faith fixed. Oh, faithless and perverse generation, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, say to this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' it shall remove. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." In this day when much of the work of God looks wilted and Christianity looks awfully pale, it's no time to retreat, but a time to retrench and retread and rewind. And even though we must be living in the days of the final apostasy, where faith has faded into form and lost its fire, yet I believe there can be something genuine when Jesus comes again, with Jesus interceding above and the Holy Spirit indwelling and abiding in our heart. There is no excuse or reason for failure. I keep hearing that song, "The thing that you've prayed for is on its way and paid for, so hold on a little longer." And yet I've come to the place where I've had to confess to God that I couldn't hold on. He'd have to hold me on. And my faith is unswerving and unwavering. I'm fully persuaded that what he has promised, he's able to perform. Romans 4:21. Now let me bear personal testimony that I trust and pray will encourage God's people. My life of faith began one Wednesday night as I lay a very sick young man in the hall of that old ranch house in Navarre County in Central Texas, and about 10 o'clock said, "Lord, if you're calling me to preach, I'll preach." And God gave me a real taste of peaceful sleep that I'd not had known in months. The times seemed impossible, and after staying out of school a year, after high school graduation, picking cotton in West Texas, 50 cents a hundred, I went off to Baylor University, taking my old milk, cow to milk, from a boarding room, and I had to guarantee 3 gallons a day. That is a step of faith. My body was sick. One of the outstanding doctors in Waco, dear old Dr. K.H. Ainsworth, recommended that I beat it back to the farm. However, my real ministry of faith did not begin until years ago, when I began to take the Bible literally and believe that it meant what it said for today. It is about that time I started reading it through each year on my knees and started believing God for my physical needs. We went on a 250-watt station and got kicked off a few months later because we preached against liquor traffic. But the next day we went on a 50,000 watt station, still on it today, twice a day, 45 minutes a day. Our church building burned down, known as the Park Avenue Baptist Church, 6 months after we'd been in Corpus Christi. And through much pressure and misunderstanding, we purchased the Furman Avenue site for $55,000 and built the Second Baptist Church. There was a big corner of the property that belonged to the Sinclair Refining Company. And we were hoping at a later date to get that, when one morning my men came to the study and said, they've started drilling holes for a Sinclair service station on the corner of our property, suggesting it was too late to do anything. I said, let's pray. After prayer, I called New York City and asked for Mr. Harry Sinclair's office and told him how disappointed we were and how much we had desired to have that property. And at 11 o'clock, the men walked off the job just 1 hour later. And we bought another piece of property for $15,000 and traded even with them for the property for which they'd asked $22,000. That was a real answer from heaven, and that's faith. The old Park Avenue site that I was sincerely holding and hoping for a day school was sold one night while I was speaking at another church in town when the deacons met. When I went back to the deacon meeting, it was over. One of the deacons told me that he knew I would be disappointed, but that the property was sold because they needed the money. The property consists of 150 feet on Park Avenue, 250 on King Street, with two houses, a two-story garage, and a nice building, and we called the Brotherhood building. It sold for $15,000. But the next fall, through the kindness of dear Dr. Logan, who's with the Lord, we fixed up the old Brotherhood building and started a Christian day school with a kindergarten, and first grade, and over a period of years, bought all that property and built a big brick building over 100 feet long, which has housed the school and the Enterprise's offices. It all seemed like a dream, and yet, simply a work of faith and labor of love. Oh, many other things I could tell you. I tell you, God is wonderfully blessed and given us faith to live by. And let me see, the station was sold. An unbeliever in Christ came and asked me if I would like to go back on. I was kicked off of KWBU, you know. And then I was kicked off of the next station. The next owners bought it. And then the Lord turned around and let me buy the thing through some friends. I don't own a penny of it. I don't have stock. I don't have business. I don't go into that kind of thing. And but faith doesn't deal in business things. It just goes ahead and acts by faith. And I tell you, so many things have happened. Oh, listen. My soul has been blessed, and I've been encouraged. And I feel like saying, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Hold the fort, for I'm coming. Jesus, signal still. Just wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace, we will.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled Faith. If you would like to order this in CD form, simply ask for offering number RO3676. 3676. The title of the message again is Faith. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we'd like to have today's date and also the call letters to this radio station. Here's the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar program, and also we entitle it Letter Month. It's also the month that Brother Roloff really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here is from Dallas, Texas, said, "Friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you." And we love that message also, my friend. Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway. That's a beautiful title. "I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all." And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years, and maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled, Faith, the Second Greatest Gift. This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, what does faith have to offer? And where can I get faith? How do I use it? Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Post Office Box, 1177 Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and he made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at his feet and they looked in his face, content in his presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and he made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.